There's a wonderful new novel out in paperback. It is called I'm Having So Much Fun Here Without You. It is an exploration of marriage and love and the inevitability of change. Again, the title of the book is I'm Having So Much Fun Here Without You. It is out this week in paperback. Courtney Mom is the author of the novel, which is going to bring her to our region to a couple of spots, which we'll tell you about in a few moments. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Courtney Mom to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor.
It's a delight to have you here. What brought you to this particular place of saying, I want to tell this story?
Well, it took me a while, I think, to realize that I'd always wanted to tell this story. But growing up, I grew up in Greenwich, Connecticut. And I have to say that the model for marriage that I eventually ended up seeing around me was you wait for your husband to cheat on you. Then you lawyer up. You try to keep the house. You get as much money as you can and you keep the kids and you go on from there.
Yeah. And the dog is the pawn in the middle.
Oh, I forgot about the dog. I guess he keeps the dog.
All right.
As I grew older and started falling in love myself, I ended up moving to France, and I spent 5 years in France, and I saw a little bit of a different model over there. First of all, a lot of people didn't get married at all, and if they did, infidelity was not always grounds for divorce. I saw more examples around me of people trying to work through it. And in my own life, my family tree is kind of riddled with adultery. And my parents, there were some dalliances there. And my mom had wanted to work things out with my own father, but he was deeply in love with someone else and said, you know, I'm sorry, but I want to marry this other person. And I always thought, well, what would it have looked like if that experiment in forgiveness was allowed to occur? You know, what would that actually look like, especially with a child in the house, if you're trying to, you know, keep the refrigerator stocked with whole milk and keep the kids in school, but you're just so angry at your spouse. But, you know, what would that look like? And I realized there weren't a lot of examples of that around me, so I thought I'd try to write one.
I find it really interesting in the book because you play with this idea of, yes, how much of it is a struggle to love someone and to deal with someone, but also this idea of who we deserve.
Yeah, that's quite eloquently put.
I mean, who is, like, who, there's what we want, and then there's, you know, what your lot in life is, perhaps.
That's true. I don't know if I've ever thought about it that way, who we deserve. I think you sometimes end up with someone who you probably don't deserve. I think. Gosh, now I'm nervous. I don't know, thinking about my own marriage. I mean, my husband is probably, he's a better person than I am. You know, he's
right.
Like, just in terms of daily good deeds.
But don't you think most, well, maybe most people wouldn't say that. Like, I would say that about my wife. I think many times in a marriage, you try to fill in where your deficiencies are.
Yes. Well, it's a good strategy, I think. You don't want to, you know, saddle your wagon with someone who has the same problems you do. So, yeah, definitely.
So you tell the story from Richard's point of view, which I guess would surprise some people because they would expect you to take the woman's point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple things there. I find it easier to fictionalize. I really like writing fiction, and it becomes easier for me the further and further I get away from the person I am. So Richard's not only a man, he's British. I am neither of those things, or for the moment, I'm not. Honestly, I mean, it was more fun. I'm sorry to say that writing an entire novel from the point of view of a spurned spouse wouldn't be a great read. I've learned from trying to do it that writing from the point of view of someone who's really angry, it just doesn't make for great reading. And there was a message of compassion here I wanted to get at that I think it would have been a lot harder if I'd written it from Anne's point of view.
And does it make it a bit easier because so much else of the story is dealing with things that you were just talking about? So a lot of it does mirror your life. So, okay, if I take this point of view, then it brings me away from it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would definitely say so. I mean, honestly, when I try to write from a female point of view, all of a sudden the parents in the book start becoming my parents. It's just harder for me being a woman to not all of a sudden plop my own world into the fiction I'm trying to write, where if I create someone that I am not and never have been, it becomes easier to allow myself to experiment a little bit.
And there's just so much of a character we can read who is just scorned and mad all the time.
I think so.
Yeah.
It you know, novels are, they're long. It's, you know, I mean, would you want to sit next to an angry person at like a dinner, like at a wedding, someone's wedding, no, where you can't get up and leave?
Or worse, on the plane.
You know,
right?
you don't want to sit next to some angry person.
Right.
Or not for more than 5 minutes.
So here's the question I'm going to ask you that is probably very frivolous, but so you said that I'm you're obviously not male and you're not British, so you have a complicated accent. There's a little. So I would have said there was a little British in there, but no?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I've been told that. I think when I was little, I had a lisp. It's probably still coming out. And my parents had tried to send me to speech therapy, and I was very self-righteous about it. Like, this is me. This is how I talk. But I think I started kind of speaking in a little bit of with strange rhythms or cadences or something to get around using words with mm-hmm. you know, S's in it, and then I don't know, I lived in France a long time.
I was going to say then probably the France connection, probably something.
Yeah,
to do,
my
right?
husband and I speak in French, and then the third thing is that I'm a writer, so I am a writer who lives in the middle of the woods. I don't talk to anyone all day. This is the first time I've used my words in like 9 hours, so I guess I just sound like the strange person I am. I don't know.
When you have that solitude, though, it does it allow you to not just write the book, but to think about it, to think all this through, to work on the construction of what's going to happen between these two lives of Richard and Anne?
Well, to be honest, I'm trying to actually take more time and think more about the things that I write, because I used to be the kind of writer that, you know, just got that feeling and kind of sat down and wrote my heart out and then thought it was perfect and didn't have to revise it. This novel has an interesting backstory, because I actually wrote it 10 years ago before I was even married, and it almost sold, and then the deal fell through, and I ended up rewriting it completely 10 years later when I was pregnant. So I did end up having 10 years to think about these people's relationship and how it would have changed and, deepened. Yes. And I don't think I could have done that if I was, you know, in Brooklyn. Mm. I think I needed the solitude.
Looking at the arc then from the 10 years, did the book, do you think, have a little more, maybe a little more compassion, a little more forgiveness than it did originally?
100%. Absolutely. That was what was lacking. And I was too young to realize it, because, I mean, as a writer, you have to be an egomaniac. You have to tell yourself you're the greatest writer in the world, because everyone else around you is saying no, no, no. So 10 years ago when I wrote it, I thought it was this brilliant thing. And I could not hear the criticisms that the person was not compassionate enough. And it wasn't until I was married myself and started realizing the kind of seesaw you do with another person in your life, where it goes from love to anger to hate to love just in a 35-second span. It took me being married, you know, 7 years myself and having hurt people and been hurt to be able to revisit their relationship in a more compassionate way, for sure.
And yet, so 10 years, and yet you still kept at it. And I'm curious as to what it was that, because there's not only, you mentioned ego, but I would also say trust in the work, trust in yourself, and a stick-to-itiveness that is necessary to pursue an artistic goal.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt like this book deserved another chance, but I didn't want to self-publish it, and finally, I just let it go. It was in a box for 10 years, and it was actually my current literary agent. I had signed with her to hopefully sell another book, a completely different novel. And shortly after, you know, working together, she said, this is actually not going to sell. It's not going to sell. Do you have anything else? And I, you know, she had to twist my arm, but I shared this old manuscript with her, and she said, Courtney, this is it. This is your debut novel. You know, you have to renovate it. But this is your debut novel. And I don't know, I was pregnant at the time. I had this deadline where this human being was going to be, you know, coming out of me. And I thought, gosh, if this book really ever does, you know, have a second chance in it, like, this is it. I have 7 months to give this all of my energy. And after that, you know, I might never write again. I didn't know what it was going to be like having kids. So I decided to give it my all. And thank God it worked. Really worked hard.
When you think about this relationship, really forgiveness and a trust and a faith that comes, how common do you think that is? I don't think it's common when you think about reading a story like that. To me, that is not common. But the idea of that acceptance, that level of forgiveness, how common do you think that is?
Well, I think it's actually pretty uncommon, because if I think about my own social circle, certainly, let's say you're at a dinner party, your friend might, you know, while you're, I don't know, preparing the hors d'oeuvres together, might start kind of griping a little bit about something her husband's done, but in a very friendly way. But it's the rare set of friends or even family members who sit down and share something shameful that they're trying to work through. I mean, I think there's a whole panoply of forgiveness in our lives, everything from the daily stuff, like your spouse forgetting milk when he goes to the store, to something of this level, which is a huge, huge betrayal. And I think there's some shame involved. I mean, I don't know if I would be able to sit down in front of my own family and friends and share something that makes me look bad and makes my husband look bad and makes us all feel bad. It takes a lot of courage. That's the thing I've really discovered after writing this, is that forgiveness takes a huge amount of courage.
And with that courage, in telling this story, there's a lot of heavy stuff going on, but you keep it fairly, it is fun.
Well, thank you.
Yes. I mean,
if it wasn't fun, and with this title, gosh, I mean.
But I mean, it does say that there, you can go through all of this, yeah, and still have a, you know, an okay time.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite scenes was when he's trying desperately to somehow win his wife back, and there's this scene where he takes her to a really terrible steakhouse. It's an actual chain. Maybe now that I've admitted this, they'll find me and sue me, but it's an actual chain in France called the Hippopotamus, which is just such a bad name for a steakhouse restaurant on so many levels. And they have these different menu options, like you can get the L'effet bœuf, which is the beef effect, which it's just free sauces. You can have like endless sauce on your steak. And it's a terrible place, but it's kind of a running joke in their relationship. And he takes her there for this huge sort of, please, my love, will you forgive me meal? And, you know, you can imagine how it ends, or maybe you can't imagine how it ends, because yeah, humor is important.
And sometimes there's you have to put things like that into a context, and there's also, you even have to ask yourself, this is almost too surreal to be real.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is what life feels like that's how I feel about life every
sure
day.
Like, you didn't think you could top that. Oh, right, we just topped that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes you don't top it, it's the opposite. Things get bad.
Okay. So now another 10 years, or are we at a faster clip?
I hope we're at a little bit of a faster clip. You know, I really hope I've got, I'm very good about writing a lot and quickly and it all being terrible. So I've got two pretty bad posts, this novel manuscripts that are now in boxes, and I'm working on a third and it's feeling pretty good. So, you know, I'm crossing my fingers that it won't be, you know, like the ozone layer will still be intact by the time I get this next book out.
You know, that just seems like a fine goal in life.
Thank you.
To get it out before the depletion of the ozone layer.
And the universe.
And the universe as a whole. Well, the name of the book is I Am Having So Much Fun Here Without You. And Courtney, I thank you very much for coming in. I thank you for your infinite patience. We had some technical glitches while we were taping today, and you were just a great sport. So I thank you for that. The name of the book, I'm Having So Much Fun Here Without You. Now, here, if you want to go meet Courtney, and good God, why wouldn't you want to? You can head on over to the Odyssey Bookshop on April 8th at 7 o'clock. Right in South Hadley, Massachusetts. You'll be having an event there. They're fantastic people.
They are fantastic people.
A wonderful event there. April 8th at 7 o'clock. You're also going to be at something called the Literary Death Match at the Mount. And given what we've been talking about, that sounds like a lot of fun. It's Lenox, Massachusetts. And it's April 24th at 8 o'clock, and you face off with other authors? Is that how?
Yeah, you face off in other authors, and if you win, there's two rounds, and if you emerge, you know, victorious, you go into a death match.
All right. Well, my money's on you, Courtney.
I can't
see how you could lose this. And for our friends in Troy, you're going to be at the Lansingburg Branch Library on June 6th. And I assume that's at 9 o'clock. I assume they're going to be reading the book and going to be discussing it. So if
not my book, we can talk about someone else's book. I like other authors.
It's a reading group book. So for our friends in Troy, they can start reading and get prepared for the event in June. Courtney Maugham is the author of I'm Having So Much Fun Here Without You. It is published by Touchstone. A delight to have you here. Thank you very much. And best of luck with the book.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Have great fun. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.